Morning, everyone. Everyone awake and ready? Let us pray, O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Blessed Master. Dearest Mother. Saints and sages of all religions. I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only King.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Amen. Om Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai. We have a new Cross and Lotus journal out, so there are several copies out in front, so please pick one up. Something I wrote about Swami Satchidananda. You may well know by now of the passing of Swami Satchidananda. When a great master enters Mahasamadhi, he leaves behind body awareness and now easily moves in a light body or enters completely into the all-consciousness of spirit. After maintaining a body for such a long time, especially a body that was ailing, the master can now remain absorbed in divine union beyond the constrictions of the body. There are those who think that a realized master pays no price for maintaining a body, but they do not know the truth. The master maintains his or her body for the sake of the world, so that others will progress faster on the path. Others imagine that when a master leaves the body, he is somehow distant. They also do not know the truth. A realized master resides in omniscience, all consciousness, and is instantly drawn to pure love and purified vision. The way to honor Swamiji, such a great spiritual personality, is to emulate him, follow him, serve as he served, love as he loved. And from Master, from a East-West magazine that is dated March of 1934 from Mother's Library. All physical pleasures arise on the surface of the body and are experienced by the mind through the nervous system. All pleasures arising from the senses of sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch are called physical pleasures and are due to stimuli from without. Pure love, sacred joy, poetic imagination, kindness, wisdom, peace, bliss, or meditation, and happiness in serving, are felt inside first in the mind or the heart, and are then transmitted through the nervous system to the physical body, to the without. Through reaction to our outer environment from early childhood on, our inner mental environment is formed. The inner mental environment of thought and mental habits almost automatically guides our actions. If a boy lives where people about abhor drink, he forms a mental environment or dislike towards drink. And if he then goes to live with people who are drink addicts, he will remain uninfluenced by it. It must be remembered that the inner mental environment of an individual is what God judges from. One may be a sinner at heart while living in the company of saints, or he may be a saint in the company of transgressors. It is most important to know that sinners or saints are made largely through the company they keep. If a sinner is willing to mend his ways and live in the company of saints, he is bound to change, while a careless spiritual man will deteriorate in the company of wicked people. Hence, outward environment and the company you keep is of paramount importance. The specific outer environment of early life is especially important in stimulating or stifling the inner instinctive environment of a child. A child is usually born with a prenatal mental environment. This is stimulated if the outer environment is like the inner environment. But if the outer environment is different from it, the inner environment is likely to be suppressed. An instinctively bad child may be suppressed and made good in good company, and vice versa, while an instinctively good child placed in a good company would no doubt increase his goodness. Thus, it will be seen that your outer environment, in conjunction with your inner environment, through habits, controls your life and molds your tastes and habits. For instance, you like to smoke. Why? Because you have smoked for some time. You are not a habitual smoker the first time you tried it. Why can you not give up such a useless habit when you feel that you should do so? It is because you know that you are a slave to your habits. No matter how you dislike the smoking habit, or how much you annoy other persons by leaving the odor of stale smoke in their hair and dress, or blowing your poisoned, smoky breath in their nostrils, still you refuse to stop because you are used to smoking. Thus it is that you love the outer pleasures of the senses because you happen to be held up by them at first, and then you maintained their prisoner. Then you remain their prisoner. Even as some persons get used to jail, so we mortals like pleasures without, shutting off the joys from within. I call sense experience pleasure because they are of short duration. For the most part, the senses promise us a little temporary happiness, but give us excuse me while I find the next page, 21. But give us long-lasting sorrow in the end. Whereas virtue and happiness within do not promise much, but in the end always give lasting happiness. That is why I call the lasting happiness of the soul joy, and the impermanent sense thrills pleasure. Have you thought of why you love fleeting, deceiving pleasures in preference to the lasting peace and joy of the soul, found so distinctly and ever increasingly in meditation? It is because in the beginning you happened to cultivate the habit of indulging in sense pleasures and did not cultivate the superior joy of inner life found in meditation. Persons who drink do so because they do not know the taste of super wine of joy from the bottle of meditation, and which can make them all forget worry. Do not be one-sided. Learn to compare good and evil habits by cultivating good habits and experiencing their superior joy-yielding quality. The man who is restless and happy, working and working day and night to make money, does not know of the superior joy of meditation. So he does not like to meditate. Instead, he would rather play chess, gossip, or use his time in consuming or wasting precious hours to no purpose, in preference to seeking the superior, ever-new joy in meditation. Do not camouflage your soul with the veil of sermons and solemn words. Understand and feel the superior joys of inner life, and you will prefer them to the fleeting pleasures of the outer world. There are two sets of people in the world, good and evil, restless and meditative, ignorant and wise, happy and sad. Tell the evil person to be good and the restless one to be meditative, and the restless one to be meditative, and they will make you feel that they do not like to do so, or they cannot do so. This is due to previous habits and not to the desire of the heart. Hence, before you put aside good habits, cultivate them and develop the taste for their superior, lasting happiness. What the Master is referring to here is very important. It's so fundamental that we oftentimes lose sight of it. A true spiritual life is one that is lived in this uplifting joy, the bliss of spirit. We are all come to this earth in order to achieve certain goals of the soul. A young man down in Ashland, a son of one of the Kriyabans, comes armed with questions generally when I come down there. It's wonderful. He's a young man in his teens, and it's wonderful to get these questions. And so he asks whether vegetation has a soul, whether a tree or a bush has a soul, and amongst some other questions that he had for me. And that particular question, as God's play would have it, I didn't have an answer for him right away. And then I spoke with his father for some time, and afterwards, the mother and the son came to pick the father back up. And in between time, when I was speaking to the father, the answer came to me. See, it's not something that I can just make up in my own mind or have my own attitude about. It has to come from someplace deep inside. And while I was talking to the father, I remembered what Mother said once. And she said that her first revelation of her first incarnation in this material realm was as a dewdrop on a leaf. And I remember thinking and imagining at the time, seeing this beautiful dewdrop, perhaps reflecting some sun coming through it, sparkling, jewel-like, on this beautiful green enamel leaf. And so with that remembrance that came to me, came an awareness of how life incarnates into this realm and how we start out in the most basic kind of existence. I remember once when thinking about this and God was showing me what it would be like to be in a lava flow, to be rock, but to be liquid rock in an ancient sort of way. And what that experience would be like as that movement came in the rock and then slowly a cooling and solidifying. And then a very, very long life living in that rock. And how all the different layers, the koshas, the coverings of the soul would be there. And consciousness would be very rudimentary in that state. There would definitely be consciousness. There would definitely be existence. But it would be more rudimentary. It would be slower. It would be an awareness of what it is to be in that state of liquid or solid rock. And then gradually, that kosha or that covering would fall off from the soul as that soul wished to exist on more refined planes, and now it becomes organic matter. And this is a brand new existence. From a seed comes the urge for life and the shooting out of roots and then of branches reaching up towards the sun. And taking in the nurturance of the sun and the air and moisture and combining that into food, and now it takes on a much more refined sense of consciousness. And how wonderful that is, how freeing it is to be able to reach up for the light, to send roots deep down into the earth and to be nourished by the earth and to draw moisture through the earth. And there is very definitely a soul in both cases. And then that kosher, that covering, drops off. And now it moves into the animal form. And through the animal form comes more movement, comes more will, comes more awareness. And now the animal can move. It is largely governed by instincts and its environment and what's going on around it. Nevertheless, it has a greater sense of freedom than the plant did. And it's able to move and it has a higher cognitive functioning. And so it moves up through the various animal forms. And now, finally, that outer kosha drops off, and it comes into the form of man. Now, why is man special? It is because he has these seven centers available to him. Now, most souls, when born into this world as a human in the beginning, only have the lower centers open. The three lowest centers all are part of the body consciousness. The first two are very much part of survival and of the senses. And then the third chakra is what gets developed more and more, that is individual will and sense of self in a human ego sense. And this represents growth. This represents expansion. And as the ego self develops and develops a greater sense of will and self-awareness, the soul begins to expand. It rises up and is able to experience things that in an animal form only may not be totally available. But then it rises up beyond that into the heart center. Now, in the heart center, it can be in the human sense only. And you feel love for children, for parents, for those who are around you, for husband, for wife. And you have that kind of love. And this breaks out from the individual now, and now you go beyond yourself. Now, certain animals certainly have this, and they have that ability. And there are many instances of dogs, for instance, who become attached to humans, and they will literally sacrifice themselves out of love for that human. They will also do it for their own kind. But then you rise up into the level of speech. And this takes you into even a more rarefied kind of form. And through speech, you are able to project sound, but not just sound. It is also a reflection of consciousness. So with words and vocabulary, your thought process refines, it expands, it grows. And with that, you are able to distinguish more and more between good and evil. You're able to do evil in a greater sense, but you're also able to do good in a greater sense. And then you rise up into the sixth center, and this is a wonderful center because here the buddhi, or the intelligence that goes beyond rudimentary mind, becomes enlightened through the light of the purusha, or the light of God, the Christ consciousness. And when that happens, you go into higher realms. Now you are separating yourselves more completely from the human, and you are entering into the realms divine. And in the beginning, this can come as a sporadic experience. It may come as a spontaneous experience, or it may come in response to a crisis in your life, and you are uplifted, you are changed. I remember one of my first experiences in this lifetime, and I was in an emotional crisis. And I cried out to a God that I barely believed in or thought about at the time, but I was in such excruciating emotional pain that I felt that I must reach out for something to provide some relief. And instantly, there was relief. There was like 1,000 pounds lifted off of me. And I felt the relief in that moment. And my mind tried to reason. It went down back into the reasoning mind, and I tried to argue myself out of it. Well, you just thought that this was going to happen, so it did. You had faith in something higher, even though it doesn't exist, and so you had this experience. But something inside of me knew that that wasn't true. It couldn't explain it away. That I'd had a contact with a very definite consciousness, a very definite experience that was beyond anything that I had had up until that point. And so this let me know that there was something that to reach for beyond myself, my little self. And so at first we get sporadic experiences, but if we really feel the awakening inside of us, then we will reach out for something higher, but it competes with all the habits that we've cultivated, not just in this lifetime, but the samskaras or those tendencies that we brought with us from other lifetimes. And back and forth we go. Sometimes we feel drawn up. We want to have that experience and bliss. And other times we want to have experience and pleasure. And we want to satisfy the things of the senses. And the old habits tell us that real pleasure will give us what we're looking for. But inevitably we get a little bit of that and it disappoints us because it's always a mixture. There's always a mixture of pleasure and pain. And this is true with all life force, with all creative life. Benjamin Franklin had a wonderful scientific mind. And at one point he applied that to electricity, as we all know about. And he came up with some ideas about electricity, and one of them that was unique at the time, there was people who thought there was positive electricity and negative electricity. But what he realized was that within every movement of electricity, there is a positive and a negative charge. There is an attractive and a repulsive aspect to it. And he also realized that, and wrote about, that electricity was fluid-like in the way that it moved and the way that it flowed. And these were very important discoveries about electricity, which at this time in the mid-1700s was something that was just being known about. And electricity is an extension of life, of prana. It's a grosser example of prana. And prana also, which is the life force by which your body is animated, and by which you are able to move and to think and to have your being, also has this positive and negative toward it. It's part of it in an absolute kind of a way. And as long as you're existing in this realm of duality, you are always going to have the positive and the negative. And it also flows in a liquid-like way. And this is the water of life that Jesus referred to. The water of life is this prana. It is this flow that moves through you. Now, what God has shown me in a very definite kind of a way is that life force flows from behind us. It comes in through the spine. It comes in through the medulla, as we know. And the medulla is the entry point for this flowing of life energy, but it flows all up and down your spine. And when you are an awakened spiritual master, you have that life energy awakened through your entire spine. Now, each one of these centers in your spine has a positive and a negative charge. And what we are about as we go through this spiritual ascension from the human to the divine is that we are purifying each one of these chakras of the ignorance that we have enshrouded those centers with through our own past behavior, thoughts, and actions. Now, everything that you do, every word that you speak, every action that goes out from you has a very definite effect. There is the rule in physics that for every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. And what this means in a personal sense, because that too is a reflection of spiritual law through material law, through the law of physics, is that everything that you do comes back. And it comes back in equal force to what you did. So if you send out love, then you receive love. And if you sent out hatred and anger and revenge, then that's what you receive. If you send out fear, suspiciousness, you receive that in return. Now, it can come from outer sources, the people and situations around you, but it can also come from within you. There's a saying that the greatest price that a habitual liar pays is not that he will not find others who will trust him. He will always find somebody who will trust him, even though he lies all the time. The greatest price that individual pays is that they will never find anybody in life that they will trust, because they will always assume that somebody else is trying to lie to them, will always take the easy way out in the same way that they do. And so they live in a world of suspiciousness that they cannot escape. And that becomes a kind of hell for them. Because with that kind of suspiciousness, there is never any kind of intimacy. There can never be any true love. And so this is the price that an individual pays when they cultivate that kind of a habit. So these things go out from you and they come back. And this is the law of cause and effect. It is the law of karma. And sometimes we see where people make fun of it or they have a good time with it. But nevertheless, it is a law that works just as surely as the law of gravitation or any other law that operates throughout this physical realm. And so we need to understand it, not to be afraid of it, not to feel that it's all bad, because it's not. Whatever we've cultivated in a good way, in a positive way, will also come back to us. So the key here is not to be afraid of it, not to be resentful about it. It's to understand that as we sow good seeds today, we will reap a better future. Now, sometimes we start out trying to cultivate a good habit, and things continue to happen to us in a negative kind of a way. Perhaps we're trying to cultivate prosperity and bring prosperity to us, but still we have lack. We don't have that prosperity. And the reason is because we're sowing the seeds, but they haven't come to fruition yet. And if we lose heart and we lose faith that the seeds that we're sowing are not any good, and we start to go back to old habits of fear or anger or resentment, then we destroy those good seeds by counteracting them with negative thoughts and feelings. So we have to proceed on with faith. Now, faith is a result of really going to work on yourself, because faith goes beyond hope. Hope is a weaker word than faith. And with hope, we hope something good will happen. We hope that we'll be able to change ourselves. We hope that our situation will be able to change. But it's a vague notion. And it's something that we send out from ourselves, but it doesn't have much power behind it. Faith is different. Faith is a deep knowing inside of yourself. You know that God is operating this universe. You know that your good will come back to you. You know that the source of this universe, the source of all creation, is good. And therefore, you are meant to live a life of goodness, of joy, of light, of life. And even if you go right up until the last moment of this life, but you hold in faith that your good will come to you, then it certainly will. It certainly will. Now, there are those who have very little, but they lead lives of great faith. And as a result of that, they have peace. They have joy. Somebody who's out of sync with themselves do not have peace. They don't have real joy. They can have pleasure. They can have what they think of as security, if it's in their bank account or if it's with possessions or that kind of thing. But deep down inside, they know that all of these things can be taken away from them. And as a result of that, their happiness can be lost. If you're absolutely focused upon children or upon material things, anything on the outside to be your source of happiness, ultimately you know that that outer representation will be taken away, because there comes a time when, even if we have everything perfectly arranged in our life, there comes a time when we leave this body and we leave everything behind. And we make that sojourn into the great life beyond this life. But we do it alone, in a sense that others don't do it with us. We enter into that life as we came into this life, individually. And it's then that we feel accountable, not because somebody is lording it over us and making us be accountable and will punish us for the things that we have done. It is because, as a soul, deep down inside, we know what we have come to do. We know what the right thing is to do. And when we go against that, we go against our soul's intuitive knowledge. Now, some people try to hide that away. They try to drink it away. They try to use drugs to make it go away. They try to ignore it. They just keep running and running and running, hoping that it will all go away someday. And there are those who try to buy their life insurance program through church. And then maybe they go down to the altar and they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But they only do it because they think that's the ticket to heaven. But they don't change their lives. They don't change themselves. They don't align themselves with Christ consciousness. They ignore the words that Jesus said, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, the divine Father in heaven is the divine consciousness. It is the heavenly consciousness. It is consciousness of purity, of bliss, of light. And no matter what kind of life you have led, no matter what kind of mistakes you have made, when you turn away from that and you turn toward the light of the divinity of your own being, you are made new. You are made pure. But it doesn't all happen in just a moment. We know that. And anybody who is honest with themselves will know that. You can be totally dunked into a river in a baptism, and you'll come out and you'll feel better for it. No doubt about it. But when you start living your life again, those old habits start coming back to you again. It's not the end, it's just the beginning. And what you really need is a baptism in spirit, not in water. It is these living waters, this prana, this life force that comes in. And now when it comes in this kind of purity, it washes you clean. There is no duality associated with it, because it comes directly from God. And when you are baptized in fire and in spirit, the fire is this tremendous kundalini fire that comes up. It is the fire of life force, intense life force that is combined with intelligence, that will completely put your path straight. It will put you in complete alignment with the highest divine consciousness. Now, we are coming into the season of the birth of Christ. Now, historically, it is said that in all likelihood, if there's a physical birth of Jesus, it probably happened in the springtime, because that's when the shepherds would have been out with their flocks, guarding the flocks, because they would be in a vulnerable state at this point. The lambs would be coming forward and the wolves would be there, and they would have them out grazing in that way, and so the time of year would be different than what we celebrate. But really, when you think about it, when you have a beginning of a new year, we've come to that time of the year when it's the shortest days of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. And now we're starting to go, once we make that transit at the winter solstice, We're starting to move toward the light. We're starting to move towards longer days of light. And so symbolically, this is a wonderful time of year because we've gone through the death of winter. And we have more time to go through, yet we are gradually beginning to make that transit towards the summer, towards the longer days of light. And so this birth comes at that time. It's not the fullness yet, but it is the birth. It's the beginning. And the yogis found that at these different times of the equinox and the solstices, that there is a special kind of vibration that goes out through creation. There's a special opportunity. And if you will take advantage of it, you can go deeper and you can go further more easily. Now, my own experience of coming to the winter solstice is that it is a time of great intensity. And oftentimes, the buildup through this time, there's a lot of negativity that comes up, or a lot of intensity about the negativity. And the reason is because it's a time of purification. It's a time of death. It's a time of letting go of the old. And so that would happen to me every year until the time of the winter solstice, and then it would seem like something would break. And all of that intensity would lighten up and I would feel uplifted. I would feel the bliss. I would feel the joy in greater measure. And so through this time, if you especially make the effort, and as if there's anything that's negative that comes up for you, as that arises up inside of you, don't give it new life energy. Don't give it your attention, but let it pass through you. Let it pass through you. It is inevitable that the things of the past will come up as you seek to purge them. And they come up and you are purified once you have let go of them. So don't put your attention on them. Don't give them more energy, but rather let them go into the light. Let them go. Let them pass through you. And you remain. You remain fixed with your attention upon the light, upon God. And when you do this, you will rise up and you will feel the Christ. You will feel that birth happening right inside of you. You will see the star at the point of the ajna, at the third eye point. And you will see there beautiful lights. It may be a light of gold. It doesn't always come, just as Master described it, as a tunnel or as a star. But you may see a beautiful gold there. It may come in the form of a tunnel, or it may be just the light of gold. You may see there a beautiful deep blue. You may see there an absolutely exquisite pearl-like white light, silver-white light. And as I describe them to you, I see them with my eyes closed as I stand here before you. And these are the inner lights that reflect the outward power of spirit through creation in the gold light. The wisdom and intelligence of the divine consciousness in the deep blue light. And the eternal self of God in the white light, the Heavenly Father. All of these things exist right inside of you. And it's not that it happened 2,000 years ago and it will never happen again. It happens all the time. And these things can happen to you. And as you do that, you feel the birth of this inner Christ, the purity, the love, the joy. You hear the celestial music resounding throughout the spheres. You feel the upliftment, the joy of a new birth. And so when you put yourself into the season, especially put your mind into it in this way, and feel that the birth of the Christ is happening right inside of you right now, and that it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it is what you have come to do. And then let that joy blossom in your heart and your soul, and expand out and embrace all mankind, all this world. This world is in such need of that divine light. It is being torn apart through the anger, through the prejudice, through fear, and it is in terrific need of healing. And you can do your part by allowing yourself to be a conduit for that divine consciousness to flow through you and from you and out to the world. So let us be a part of the divine march of creation that's going back into the divine light. And see that everyone and everything is a part of that march. Everyone is a kindred spirit from that standpoint. And let us come together in small groups and meditate deeply and carry that vibration with us. Where two or more are gathered, there I shall be. There's a special synergy that happens when you get together for the highest purpose within your own soul. So these are wonderful, wonderful truths. As I speak them, I also hear them. And I hear my Heavenly Father speaking them out. I see the thoughts unfold within my own consciousness. They are not my thoughts, but they are thoughts that come through me, and we all have this capacity. And in my heart, I feel the divine love flowing through this heart. None of these things I claim as my own. They come through me, but they are not from me. And these are all capacities that we all have, and that we are all here to explore them fully and completely. So let this be the beginning for you, for us all, and enter into that divine light of which we are all a part. It is not far from you. It is very close. It is as close as your closest breath. It is as close as your own thought and your own feeling. Do not imagine that it is far away from you. But God's blessings are pouring upon you. His grace is with you. Always has been and always will be. All you need do is to receive it and to become a son of God, a child of the infinite. If you'll pray with me, O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet and surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with Thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. To you, bow to the light within your own soul.